Hey, everybody.
Hey, Spy vs. Spy podcast customers.
Oh, you were peeking out like something no one's business.
Let me try that again.
Okay, hold on. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
All right, whatever.
Everybody. Hey, it's Spy vs. Spy podcast customers.
August 22nd, 2007.
Here's your product.
Wednesday show.
Yep. Consume us now. Wow, there's still time.
Limited time offer.
Quite probably.
Your life?
Yeah.
We've been away for a couple days.
It's not like it's a super limited time. Well, no, it is super limited, I guess.
We had second hiatus.
It was an accident.
Yeah. But you know what? If you're mad about that, we apologize.
Yeah.
If you didn't notice.
You weren't expecting that.
If you didn't notice, then you're right on target.
Stay on target.
Yeah. So, what's new?
Well, basically, nothing.
Oh.
I haven't done anything.
Coming up on today's show, I'm going to review a chip.
That'll be good.
I saw a movie.
Ooh.
I got a thing and another thing. And it's Phil's day off, so we're going to have a day off roundup.
You got things?
Yeah, the first thing I got was I downloaded Super Metroid for the Wii Virtual Console.
Nice.
Super Metroid is one of my favorite all-time Super Nintendo games. One of my favorite all-time games, maybe, even. I never owned it for the original console, but I played it on emulators and all that. I kind of missed it when it came out. I kind of missed all the Metroid. It goes back to the very original Metroid, but that came out at the same time as Kid Icarus, and it's kind of like, I think you were either one or the other, unless you were like a rich kid who had both.
Right.
But usually there's a few games I think that came out like that, and you either kind of got one or the other, and I ended up with Kid Icarus, so I was a Kid Icarus guy, which that franchise never went anywhere. And then the original Metroid I missed out on. I never really played the original one until years later, I think on an emulator even. I don't think I've ever even seen an original Metroid cartridge. None of my friends had it. Nothing. So
my uncle had it. Weren't NES games, weren't they like $40?
I think, if to the best of my knowledge, like, okay, I can't really speak to ColecoVision and Atari and that previous sort of generation of stuff, because we had a ColecoVision, but I was kind of young to really realize how much it cost at that point, I think.
Right.
But to my knowledge, as soon as Nintendo came out, it was like games were around $40 to $60. Consoles were like $250. Like, no matter what generation, no matter what brand or whatever, that's kind of what they were. So they decided that was the price that people were willing to pay. So when Nintendo came out, I remember we bought our Nintendo. My brother and I split it, and we got the robot and gun set.
Yeah.
Which did not come with Super Mario Brothers. It came with Duck Hunt and Gyromite, and that was it.
Right.
So we never owned Super Mario Bros. With our Nintendo. I got such a bad, like, I missed out on a lot of the classics, too. Never had any of the Zelda games originally. We had the weirdest shit. But yeah, I remember it being about $250 for the robot and gun set.
Wow.
And that was a good value at the time, when you thought maybe they would put out more games for the gun than the robot.
Right.
Which they didn't really do.
No. We had the wands and gun set. With the Super Mario Duck Hunt combo cartridge there.
My friend had the triple changer one with the running pad. World-class track meet, Super Mario and Duck Hunt is the ones that he had.
It's a triathlon right there.
It kind of is.
But I only paid, I believe it was $125 for that combo.
Was it brand spanking?
It was a couple years later.
Yeah, see,
I mean, it was new, but it was a couple years in.
Yeah, so. That's what's... Well, they always drop the price a little while later, but we got ours when it was, like, first coming out, and we got Ultra Deluxe set at Sears or some shit. And so anything when it first comes out and it's brand new is, like, $250. Although, this generation, the PlayStation and the Xbox are both, like...
Oh, all bets are off.
$900 or something. But sure. Nintendo, which is what I've followed the whole time. But Super Nintendo was about $250 when it came out, and games were still, you know, $50-$60. I was looking at, but Oliver got given to him an N64.
Yeah.
When he moved, and I was thinking, you know, I might like to pick up some N64 games. He got three controllers, maybe get another controller, play some four-player. There's the new Tetris I remember being pretty good, and there's a Dr. Mario and stuff like that, you know? And right. I was like, oh, I'm going to check out eBay and see how much that shit is. People are selling N64 games for like $25-$30, and I think that's just way too much for something so old and so crappy.
Yeah, I mean... It boggles the mind that anyone would pay $3 for an NES game back when they came out. That's just like, wow, really?
I know, I know. Some of them, you could argue, that had that much amount of money worth of value and fun and replayability and that, but a lot of them didn't.
Yeah.
A lot of them were just really crapped out, like, slightly shined up Atari games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder how much Atari games were new. John Hill?
Boy, I sure don't know.
Yeah, we didn't have Atari. We had a ColecoVision, and then we got rid of it somewhere along the line, and then I ended up with another one from a friend who had two.
Wow.
And he gave me one, so I got a bunch of Coleco stuff. I got the rollerball controller, which you can use for Centipedis.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the friggin' sword hilt joystick. You know that one? It's got the red ball arcade style joystick on top, and you hold it. It's like a sword friggin' hilt. Like, you hold it, and it's got like a little shield on the front, and it's got buttons for your. It's got four buttons for your fingers, and it was made for this baseball game. And the different buttons did different pitches, and there was a little like guard over top of your hand so that your opponent could not see which buttons you were pressing.
Wow,
this is totally like. I mean, it was a good thought, I guess, but. How often are you looking at your friend's controller when you're playing, you know, Street Fighter? Oh, he's using a light kick. Oh, I'm going to...
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. It's totally a weird thing. Like, you don't really... Like, oh, I'm going to spy on his fingers and see what pitch he's... Like, if you do that, you're going to miss the pitch and, you know...
Yep.
Anyway, so it was kind of an interesting idea, but it was poorly executed. But it looks badass. It looks like such a freaking retarded vision of the future from 1983. And, But had a better joystick, ball end joystick, arcade style thing than the regular ColecoVision had. That sort of flat. Do you remember that one? Had that sort of like flat disc protrusion. That was bad. They didn't know how to make shit back then.
Yes. What? I never had it.
Oh, okay.
I had had 7800 when that came out.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle had 2600.
Dial paddles.
7800, it was pretty cool. It was like a long, you know, long, and had a button on each side, and a joystick on the top. It's kind of a weird controller, but it sure was comfortable. Man, like trying to switch to the whatchamacallit, NES controller after that.
Yeah.
You know, after, you know, massive amounts of joystickery.
Right.
It was tricky.
But
still square and shit.
Yeah, that was an interesting design choice by Nintendo to make something that is really going to dig into your hands.
And it's reversed was the thing. That was the thing that took me the longest to get used to was buttons with the right hand and controlling with the left hand.
But okay, you are a right-handed dude.
Yeah.
And in arcades. Usually it was set up that left hand was joystick and right hand were buttons. So Nintendo was just following an arcade style, but do you play crossover? If you're playing an old Galaga or something, do you play crossover? Do you button with the left hand and stick, you know what I mean? You make an X with your arms and you don't need it. But I played
most of what I was playing was on the 7800 and because, like, if I'd go to the arcade or whatever, I'd play pinball.
Yeah, right.
Crossover, though. Double crossover.
You used your chin for one of them and used your kneecap for the other one?
I twist my arms all the way up, make a corkscrew. That's how I won. That's how I always won.
Yeah.
But, so it's the other way, you know, hold the thing. Because you had to mash the one button with your thumb. Thumb was for missiles. and your finger was for bombs, and then you'd steer with your right hand.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
How things have
changed. You
know,
a good game for the 7800. Food Fight. That was fun.
Food Fight.
That was a great game.
That one. Is it better than Burger Time?
Yeah. I think so.
Burger Time is just. I love. You know what I love about Burger Time? I think I've mentioned this before, but probably made by the Japanese. And whenever they do stuff like that, they're like, yeah, this is a game about your little chef running around. You're making a hamburger. You run over top of the ingredients and it falls down and you got to watch out for the bad guys. But the goal is to make a big hamburger. And there's like the enemies are other kinds of food. And if you smash them, like if you drop a thing on them, they will go inside of the hamburger too and you get more points. That's kind of the point of the game. But because it was made in Japan, I think they didn't really have a good idea of what hamburgers are kind of all about. And so there's like a fried egg and a wiener and I don't know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You're kind of like, I don't think I really want that in my hamburger. I know those are things that you can get on hamburgers, but it's not, that's not classic hamburger.
True.
Classic hamburger, less tomato, cheese, bun, patty. That's all you want. Anyway, condiments.
My friend Todd used to get this burger. It was cheeseburger, bacon, pastrami, fried egg.
Ugh. You don't need the egg.
It held the pastrami down.
Yeah, but it's like when you don't. I don't know. To me, the egg is like it's just extra. You're like, well, why not have a double burger or double patty or something like that? You know, why do you need the extra bulk of an egg? And you probably don't even really end up tasting the egg that much with the patty and all that. Don't you think?
Sunny side up. It's runny. It's salt.
Yeah, I guess that's okay.
Juicy.
They should sell that as, how they have like breakfast burritos and shit at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. They have the egg McMuffins and all that kind of stuff. They should put runny egg on a Big Mac and just serve that as the breakfast burger.
Yes.
I know
also
you probably...
Also, radio stations should have an overnight zoo.
Yeah. Because it all comes down to, hey, screw you, we don't all work 9 to 5.
That's right.
So, if you, are getting off work at 5, and you're like, oh man, I'm starving, I'm going to get a hamburger. Nope. You must have a bagel.
Yep.
I never quite understood that, but I guess it's, I don't know. You worked fast food, right?
Yeah, I did.
What's the deal? Why are they so stingy with that? Is it really that big of a deal to grill a patty as opposed to an egg? Is it different temperatures? What is it?
It's different stuff. I mean, there's different equipment for it. There's
but so what?
Egg trays that are taking up the space and whatnot.
But so what?
Yeah, but so what? True.
Because
I think it comes down to waste.
Yeah, all right. But if you offer hamburgers like at all hours, including breakfast, people go in for breakfast. Most people probably aren't going to have a hamburger,
Right.
So
no, yeah.
You won't be doing a lot of them anyway. But why disallow the option that is what the basis of your business's being?
It's just, I guess, yeah, because people aren't going to buy them. Because you sell the breakfast sandwiches from 6 to 10. You make them all from 5 to 6.
Right.
And then you sell them from 6 to 10.
Keep them under the heat lamp.
Yeah,
well,
totally.
Why not do that? Keep them under the heat lamp and then start making hamburgers. Fucking God.
I'm with you.
Not that I care. I don't know.
I ain't again ya.
I don't need fast food that much anymore, so.
Oh, lottie da.
Yep, it's true. No, I don't know. Once in a while.
Spyro's probably kind of like an overnight zoo.
Yeah.
It's like if you were if you're craving that early morning DJ collective kind of feeling thing, you go ahead and put it on.
And you can listen to it anytime you want. Mm-hmm. Sub it past the hour, 53 before the top of the hour.
Boing.
Traffic is clear. There's no traffic. There's no traffic to be had.
Lion roar.
What is that? It's the champ and champ hour.
No, I believe this. You were tapping into, if I may be so bold. I believe you were lightly tapping into the Will Ferrell Harry Carey.
Harry Carey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe just a...
Battle of the Battle. Full count. My wife.
You know that...
I'm just gonna... You know what? If you don't mind, I would like to take this opportunity to just have a sip of tea.
Yeah, go for it. You know that... Norm MacDonald record there?
Sure, yeah.
Whatever.
It's called Ridiculous. Go and buy it from a store and enjoy it. And then return it to the store once you have enjoyed it, because you will not enjoy it a second time.
No.
It's not a very good repeat listening.
It's hardly an album at all.
Yeah.
It's pretty garbage.
It was neat to hear it the first time, and I was kind of like, when's this going to be over?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
so
that's kind of the basis of Norm's comedy anyway. It's kind of an endurance test as it is.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I love it. But
sure, yeah.
The repeating bit with the Will Ferrell and him trying out the gay sex there for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's one point where just like on Saturday Night Live, and everyone cracks up and just kind of stares at the camera or whatever, and does the Horatio
Sands. Rails. Yeah.
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 There was one point on the record there when Will Ferrell screams "Goodness gracious," and you can hear them both kind of like actually crack up.
Yeah, that's good
stuff.
Goodness
gracious.
Well, it's like, you know what? When you're recording an album, you only get one try. You only get one take. It's live.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. It's live.
They ran out of tape. They ran out of hard disk space, and they're like, "Well, it's the way it's got to be." Either that, or they did like five takes of that skit, and that was the best one.
Oh boy, maybe.
Yeah. I somehow doubt it, though.
Well, I mean, a good third of the record is Will Ferrell screaming in anal pain.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that album was recorded in an afternoon.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
And then there's the secret track, which is, like, the best part, because it's actually his stand-up.
Right. Yes.
Which I find to be good. I don't know about skits.
No, I'm kind of... I don't know.
It's like you're not going to believe it. You're not going to accidentally, like...
I think sketch comedy doesn't really translate as well just over audio, you know?
No, you need props.
I think so.
You need a big Q-tip.
Yeah. And then you can pretend it's a pugil stick from American Gladiators. Or you could pretend it's a kayak paddle.
Yep. You need a big shoe.
The big Q-tip was from Simpsons, right? Was that?
I had about a shoe.
Was that Simpsons gag? Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he had big ears or something, and he was just like,
Yep.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
So the movie that I saw was the Superbad.
Okay.
I went and saw that, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I don't know what that is. Please
Superbad.
Discuss.
You don't know Superbad?
Discuss amongst yourselves.
Oh, you're gonna go grab something to eat?
No, I'm just I am hungry.
It's a new Seth Rogen wrote it with his buddy there, and it's Michael Cera and Jonah Hill as the kids trying to get booze for a party, and it's
Yes, I heard the review of that on the NPR program.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny. And it was Apatow production, but I think didn't have much hands on with it, and I think
they called it a juvenile romp of sexy hijinks.
So surprisingly, that's also how they describe this show.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Maybe more of a dude movie. You know.
Porky's 2000, I believe they called it.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. And also, Porky's, it was a Canadian movie, I believe. And this movie features heavily, prominently Canadians. Yeah. The writers from Vancouver. Michael Cera is from Canada. And, Canadians. Way to go.
Yeah. Good job, Canadians.
Yeah, anyway, I recommend it. Anyone who was kind of on the fence about seeing that didn't know, I recommend it. I thought it was really funny. And
did you think it as funny as it was as funny as Hot Fuzz?
No. No. Hot Fuzz is a better movie all around, I think. But this one is more. It's got good jokes and stuff in it. It's funny.
Dirty jokes.
Funny dialogue. Dirty jokes. Good stuff. Yeah, but like not overly. Jokes. Like, what's that?
Pee-pee jokes.
Yeah, lots of dick jokes, but like, but upper echelon dick jokes. You know, like Kevin Smith is going to watch this movie and be like, "Oh man, I should just kill myself."
Huh?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay.
It's the Kevin Smith movie he wishes he made. No, I don't know. I don't know. That's probably not fair at all. Because it's actually a pretty good movie. Yeah, I don't know. I liked it. So, go check it out. Download it or something. I don't know. Definitely worth the download. I give it one modem up. Something that I was thinking about before that was... I was thinking about this yesterday that I thought was kind of weird about the internet and about online stuff. Was back in the day, how we were limited by our technology, that, like, you had an internet connection or you called up a BBS or whatever it was... when a new modem came out, you know, you would buy that and you're like, wow, this is way faster. Good thing I got this new modem. But that's not really, we're not limited by that anymore. We're more limited by the fiber optic and the wireless and all that kind of stuff, right?
Bandwidth. It's not us, it's them, yeah.
Yeah, kind of things. If you want a faster connection, you can't really just go out and buy a better, you know.
You get a better cable modem.
Machine or something like that, you know, like you can't really do that. And I thought that was kind of interesting that we've caught up so fast to that. So
Moore's Law,
cables,
man, Moore's Law.
Make the cables bigger, shove more schmutz down the inter hole, and also make everything wireless everywhere on Earth. Use the satellites for what they should be used for. And
And
I don't know what we would do with it because, you know, I don't know. I often think about that, like, there's a lot of things we could do with more bandwidth and stuff, but, you know, we're kind of okay how we are. It's not like we need it to be much better. Yeah, sure,
true.
It would be nice to have on-demand high-def movies and stuff, you know?
But, yeah.
Well, whatever. Who cares? Blech.
Blech.
Yeah. When was the last
time
anyone did anything worthwhile in HD?
Yeah.
Like, is any movie that you go and see, like, would you think, like, wow, this would be way better if it was in high... Like, it would be better, but...
Yeah, if I could see this in twice the resolution, oh my god.
Would it really be, like, you know, like, it would be neat, but it's not necessary.
No.
Same thing with, like, I don't know. Fuck, I don't know. What do you think?
I think those...
Not you, them. No.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
You know, those online storage spaces, that shit's kind of weird to me. You know, it's like, you know, out of hard drive space, store your files online.
Yeah, that is kind of,
you know,
weird.
And they'll give you, you know, a 100 gigs or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, fuck, on a cable connection, like upload speed is like, you know, I only get like 40K up, you know, max.
Right. Whatever. It's way slower than a USB 1 connection.
Man, so it's just like putt. And then like...
Well, it's for storing your text files.
Right. My 100 gigs of text files.
I have 100 gigs of HTML files that I would like to store somewhere. Is there a way I can do that and be able to download them and access them on my computer?
I've got an archive of scripts of all of the old radio programs.
You can have those read out by the Bell Labs voice robot, and then you can enjoy them. For the new millennium.
Suppose you're like, okay, I got this season 2 of Sybil, you know, but like, I don't want to waste a DVD on it, like burning this stuff off.
That's right.
So I'll just upload it to the internet. Even though I downloaded it from the internet, I'll go ahead and make another copy of it on the internet.
Just put it on YouTube.
Right.
There should be a lot of stuff that's like not worth seeing at full TV resolution, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like that show, you're like, I don't need to see that in all its full 1992 glory. Put that on streaming. Charge someone 25 cents to watch an episode or something on iTunes.
No one's going
to
pay that.
No one. All right.
No one's going to pay anything ever to see Sybil again.
Subscribe
to
a new Sybil.
It was a very fine show. I liked it, but I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to pay for it.
I had the hots for her daughter when that was on. I remember that. She was attractive.
You remember Four Rooms? Yeah.
Four Rooms?
Yeah.
Four Rooms.
The movie?
Was that movie? Oh, was that the Tim Roth, that one?
Yeah, he was in that one. Sybil's daughter was in that movie wearing merely electrical tape.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, it's like, suppose I do upload. I do manage to somehow upload my season 2 of Sybil onto my, you know, store space or whatever it's called, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
E-store. Mm-hmm. File closet.
B-store?
Crap dump.
Crapdump.org. .biz. No, and .like, .travel. Have we talked about .travel yet? No, fuck it.
So suppose that the .org there is like, oh, he's uploaded Sybil Season 2, but this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy also have Sybil Season 2, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Are they going to clog out that much redundant space? Or are they just going to be like, I'll just make a note that this guy has access to Sybil Season 2 and we'll just dump
That's
the
right.
rest of them?
One, you know? Copy of everything ever, but accessible by everybody, to everybody, ever, for free. I don't know.
Well, for you know, $45
right.
a month,
I mean, that,
whatever
that's
you pay for connection.
It's quite ridiculous when you think about shipping and packaging and all that for that DVD set.
Yeah.
For, you know, the 100 people who want it. You know, they make 50,000 copies for the 100 people who will buy it. And you got all this space taken up in the world, you know, by all these extra copies for people who don't give a shit or will watch it once and then never watch it again. So, man, we got to consolidate all that shit, turn it all into digital electricity bits, and just put it out there
and then bury it.
Yuck them out. Get on the stick, future. Come on, hurry up.
Yeah.
Time's a waste.
No, the redundancy is that's whack. They don't need that. They don't got to be using all that crap. They don't got to be using all that junk.
No, it's just such a weird thing when you think about it to have multiple copies of a movie, you know?
Yeah.
When it can be pure information stored in one central place and take up, you know, physically and also digitally, very little space.
Yep.
But to make, you know, thousands of copies of this piece of crap. It's indestructible. You can own it forever.
Well, I guess the weird thing is, like, how much coal does it take to download 1 gigawatt of program?
That's right. That is very interesting.
You know, because there's a... Are we saving the Earth by buying the DVD set of...
I don't know.
You know, mad about you.
That's why we need to friggin' genetically engineer little brain creatures. You know, little living blobs of brain.
Okay.
That can store all that stuff. And all you need to do is feed it some Jell-O or a Dorito or something every day.
Right.
And that would be a lot cheaper than generating electricity to power a big server and company and broadband and whatnot.
You okay.
You need to make little brain creatures that can hold that, and then
in your brain. You know.
Well, I don't know if it's in your brain or if it's like a pet.
So you could have total TV show recall. Because if I want to watch Sybil, you know, and I don't have any of it downloaded, I'll just have to sit and imagine an episode of Sybil, and like invariably they're always like trying to get the mass device, like no matter what fucking show I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, I got a virus in my brain download that makes me think that they went throughout history to the world's greatest bitches to create Sybil out of DNA.
Oh man. Yeah, that's a pretty good. Judy Tenuta would have to be in there somewhere.
Who?
Judy Tenuta.
Who's that again?
She had the accordion. She was, you know, something.
Don't remember. I think you explained it to me once and I didn't know, so.
Yeah, I don't think it took.
I think I forgot how to know that information.
Push A.
Push A and then start, and then that's how you continue in Super Mario Bros. That's correct.
That's right.
Yeah.
Push A. That was an undocumented tip, was it not?
I believe so.
That was the Nintendo powered first issue cover story.
Yeah.
Miracle breakthrough.
Yeah, and also if you jump on that turtle shell, you can get infinite lives.
I only ever got that to work once, man.
That's really difficult.
Yeah.
You're
right in that groove.
Yeah, and man, you know, like, back in those days, you kind of needed it.
Sure.
But I think now, I think they give you too many lives now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm playing the Sonic Rush for DS, you know?
For DS.
Yeah. And, like, like all the finally beat the boss level, you know, or the beat the boss on the, you know, it goes like a, there's a stage and a boss. It's like if you don't beat the boss, and you got to go back to the thing or whatever.
Dr. Robot Nick?
Eggman.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Robot Nick.
So, like, I'll get through the thing, and I'll be like, God, I got 9 lives left. You know? Like, let's shut this off. Because I don't want to, like, start
imagine, anything. Imagine if you went back in time and showed your little Sega-playing self that Sonic was on a little Nintendo machine that had the power of 2 Nintendo 64s or something.
Yeah, that, I would have crapped my pants. I would have said...
Because, like, back in the day, it was all, like, Sega versus Nintendo. You remember
the
big rivalry and blast processing and Super FX chip?
Yep.
And all
Parallax.
That.
Parallax. Yep.
Snorlax.
Snorlax scrolling.
And so, so now you can play Sonic on your DS. You like that game? It's good? You like it?
Yeah, Sonic Rush. It's fun. And I can't quite figure out why... Because, like, all the sites, you know... Game players, us, you know, they're all like, I don't know why all the Sonic games suck so bad lately, man.
Right.
And I'm just like, I don't see it. This is like playing an old Sonic game.
Hmm.
The levels are really, really fancy, too. There's like, all these springboard deals.
Side scrolling, old school Sonic style game.
Yeah, and it's fast as hell, and it's really cool. There's a lot of unexpected stuff. There's a lot of loop de loos and whatnot. I mean, like,
that's good. That's what you
the fluidity, of the Sonic games is what I liked so much that you could just like, I liked that you could just run through a level with a little bit of jumping and a little bit of, you know.
And I always felt when I didn't play a lot of them, but I always felt like I was missing so much stuff because you can just kind of run through the levels and you collect some rings and
there's a few paths you can go on. Yeah, you can miss a lot.
But it always seemed like I was missing so much of the level, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah, it's like only 4 or 5 points in the level where you can actually screw up because there's just like you can't forget about this jump, and you can't forget about when you come down on this loop. There's going to be a guy there, or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
but
it always kind of struck me as like, you know, in Super Mario World when you got the cape and you just sort of flew through a level and you missed it all and you're like,
you
beat that level.
Yeah.
But you're kind of like, I didn't get to see what kind of cool stuff was down there and what it looked like, you know. And that's kind of what I feel like when I play Sonic games sometimes.
Yeah, I understand that. You just hate Sonic for one. I mean, you hate Sonic. Sonic is the racist oppressor of the Nintendo. I mean,
you are
so Nintendo in your blood that for him to have spent so many years, thumbing his nose at it.
Being a crude dude with dude.
Right.
And being voiced by Urkel. He was voiced by Urkel in the cartoon.
Mm.
Jaleel White.
Wow.
Yep. So, another reason. I don't know. I just hated that attitude, you know, like.
He was extreme back when extreme was new.
1988. Dudes, let's put on our fucking jammer shorts and go surfing on a neon green board with fins. I don't know.
Yep.
I'm just not cool. I'm not cool enough for Sega. That's my problem. Not cool enough.
Well.
Hey, should I eat a chip? I'm going to eat a chip.
Yeah, eat a chip.
I got new Doritos. I don't know how new they are for everybody, but I just got them. They're chili cheese lime. Come in a yellow bag.
Tantalize your taste buds with Doritos brand chili cheese lime.
This combo cheddar cheese with a hit of chili pepper and a twist of lime will leave your mouth wanting more. Too bad I only bought the little bag. There actually wasn't a big bag. So what kind of bothers me, they often release the like limited edition stuff only in small format. And if it's something that you really like, you're like, well, come on, give me a big bag. What's your problem? Alright, I'm going to eat one of these. Tastes like a Cheeto. I bet it's like those... Didn't you have those spicy lime Cheeto things or something?
Yeah. Those are good.
Actually, it's not that cheesy. I don't know.
How are your taste buds doing?
Yeah. It's got the lime flavor. Pretty good.
Buds.
Spicy. They're not spicy, though.
Mm.
Disappointment.
Disappointment, you say?
Should be spicier. Tastes like Cool Ranch with lime.
Cool Ranch lime, you say?
Yeah, not bad. Not great. Thumbs down. Won't get them again.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Harsh review.
Not that good. Not that good. I had, in Mexico, they have funny Dorito flavors, and they're all really, really spicy. All of them are, like, beyond the pale of Jim Gaffigan spiciness. And, we don't have enough... Yeah. I don't think those are funny. I was talking to Robert the other day, and he was listening to the newish Patton Oswalt CD and enjoying it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that dude's the best. He's, like, my favorite comic and all this. And he's like, well, and I kind of want to check out the Jim Gaffigan stuff after what you guys were saying. I'm like, well, you'll be disappointed. Like, it's not very good. And I guess he listened to a couple clips, and he's like, yeah, from the sound clips, it didn't sound like it was that good, but he still wants to check it out. I recommend everybody go ahead and give it a try and formulate your own opinion, which I will disagree with.
I liked it.
You like the Jim Gaffigan? We are no longer friends.
I'm sorry.
You've been upgraded to associate.
Fine.
We're no longer friends. We're brothers.
Oh, okay. Well, I just have one thing to say to you.
Okay.
Sybil and Marianne search for the meaning of life in the desert. Rachel gives birth. Sybil has no zing with her date until she meets his father. Jeff's second wife is pregnant. Sybil loses Rachel's baby. Ira's girlfriend has multiple personalities. Zoe likes busboy scene. Sybil dates a star to the Oscars, who looks for a prostitute later. Dick Van Patten dies on stage. Marianne helps Sybil financially.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. That's all season two?
Yeah. No, Sybil desires her acting teacher until she sees his play, and Zoe considers sex. She just considers it.
Considers it what?
I don't know. Thanksgiving goes awry as Sybil works and everyone goes elsewhere. Whoa.
Was there only two seasons of that show?
No. No, there are many, many more seasons than two.
20. It's still going on right now, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's animated now. it's the whole team from Rugrats.
It's Sybil Shepherd and Optimus Prime fighting crime against...
That's right. In my mind... In my mind, it's the animation powerhouse that brought me Dr. Katz and Yep. No, season two is definitely the one to get. If you guys gonna get a thing.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, say I only have $30 to spend on DVDs this week,
uh-huh.
Right? I mean, I'll have another $30 for DVDs next week. No,
right.
Don't worry about that. But today, I go to the store. What do I get? Do I get Sybil Season 2, or do I get Moonlighting?
No. Yeah, Sybil.
Go for Sybil?
Yeah.
But I can't decide. Maybe I'll just get both, and then...
Work it off? Wash dishes?
Hard thing. Yeah, maybe I'll just work a little bit of overtime, and I'll get them both.
My wife
will be a little bit disappointed, but you know, she'll go suck an egg.
In the stories of the shows, you know, when people are like, they go to the restaurant and it's like they don't have I forgot my money books.
Sure,
I have to wash dishes.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be funny if like retail stores had just piles of dirty dishes that you could. It's like, well, I need milk and eggs and
or sips, maybe like go crush some boxes or something.
No, just dishes. If that was just like
that was the currency.
A recognized form of currency. You know, if just like anywhere you go, there's guaranteed piles of dirty dishes that you can wash.
Where would they get the dirty dishes from?
I believe
just out of boxes. Boxes of dirty dishes would be shipped to their store.
Yeah, China.
They get shipped back to China clean.
Yep. Man,
that's maybe not so bad. Maybe we could do laundry for China.
That'd be something.
I have an ancient secret of how to get clean.
There'd be a twist. What is it? What is your ancient secret?
It's a secret. I can't tell you.
Oh.
You have to find out. You have to have my wife accidentally show it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting.
We'll tune in next week for the secret of Brian's laundry cleaning tips.
Yeah, I go through and I find all the best launderers throughout history and I steal their DNA and I make a laundry emperor to do it for me.
Nice. That's a nice work if you can get it.
If you can get it, won't you show me how?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. That's good stuff.
I'm going to Amazon right now. This has been one long infomercial for fucking Sybil Season 2.
That's right. Get on it.
Yeah.
And if you find it, if you find a torrent of it, don't download it.
No.
You know, a lot of people worked really hard to make that show for you to enjoy. And you should show them respect and dollars.
It's really not that old. You know? I think they designed the show for DVD. I think this was... The show pioneered the concept of we should put this out on a DVD, maybe, huh?
Because it really needs commentaries and maybe some behind-the-scenes featurettes.
Yeah. Featurettes.
I think we need to use the suffix "ets" a bit more. You know, like, that seems like an old-timey thing, you know?
Yeah.
Cigar, cigarette, you know, like...
Yep.
Minaret? No, wait. But... Yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of language that's dying out. But maybe not, because featurette didn't seem to really be a thing before a couple years ago, huh?
Forgo, forget.
No. That's right. Shine get.
Shine get. I don't know what.
That was a thing from Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh, I never played
shine,
that.
Shine get.
But I know that there was the shines bit in the Mario Kart there. Which is still...
Oh, yes, that's right. Shines bright.
A staple in this house. Spencer hasn't slept since we got that DS in the mail.
Awesome. Yeah. So, you got anything else?
No. I mean, you know, for me, left with a cop car, Sybil rescues Marianne. Faculty party for Rachel's husband. Man, that one sounds good.
Who the fuck was Rachel?
I don't know.
Hmm.
She had the two daughters and the best friend. She had two daughters and best friend. And
she had two daughters?
Yeah.
I only remember the one daughter. She was daughter enough.
She had a much older daughter, Rachel, who
really?
I don't believe lived at home, and then Zoe lived with her.
Oh, she was the... shit, what Huxtable was it that they... The one that was older than Lisa Bonet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't remember it.
The one that was older and whiter than Lisa Bonet.
Yeah. She's older than Claire.
She was Cosby's daughter from a different marriage or something.
Sure.
But was she always part of the show, or did they just sort of write her in? It was like, oh, no, they have another daughter.
Sandra.
Yes, that's right. And she was married to David Alan Greer. No.
Apparently. Pickle Al? Yes. Your pickle hurts?
Oh, God.
Did your pickle hurt?
No.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I guess she didn't show up until the 85 season.
Hmm.
Whereas Lisa Bonet... it was in 84.
Left. It went to a different world.
Yeah.
And then left a different world and went on to bone Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, well, were they married for a brief period?
Yeah, I think so. Before.
Seen their daughter all grown up there? She's got his face.
Yeah, dude.
I can't quite hear you. Could you say that again?
Can I play some Super Mario Brothers now?
Yes, you can. Yes, go
ahead. Brothers?
Yep.
Okay. Well.
All right, Denise Huxtable Kendall.
Send in your Super Mario Brothers save games and tips and secrets to the Spy vs. Pi video hits hotline.
Sandra Huxtable Thibodeau.
The top 10 players who reach over 50,000 points will receive a Spy vs. Spy tote bag and a headband for your wrist.
Claire it, Hanks Huxtable. Sorry.
Hanks?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember her ever hyphenating that shit.
I would like for you to make me go to a site that had just a loop of the whole Huxtable family dancing, you know, when they had their jazz parties.
Oh, yeah.
Just a You the Man Now, dog loop of that would be pretty nice.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Make that appear and then tell me to go to it and look.
Okay. I would like to see a site that had all of Sybil Season 2 running in a loop with just the audio being the Tony Rollo Brown Town.
Oh, man.
Rollo, Tony, Rollo, Tony, yeah.
Rollo, Tony, Brown Town. All right, everybody, check yourself out the door and give me some more of them bipedals.
Wow, that was like a show and a half, three quarters, and a bit of another show. A little bit from over here.
Good for the rest of the
day. Yeah, some Fremunda. That's a Fremunda show, if I ever... You know, Tom Wopat played Sybil's ex-husband.
Tom McWopat?
Yeah.
That's something Android Trooper. What does that stand for?
Wopat? Oh, that's good. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yes.